This is a Little Empire podcast. Visit us at littleempirepodcast.com and on Instagram at Little Empire Podcasts.
Thanks so much to the good people of BigPipe.co.nz for sponsoring this episode of The Male Gaze.
At Big Pipe at the moment, they've got a fiber promotion that gives you two whole months free when you sign up.
What could you do with that money? You could give it to charity.
You could, and that's what you should do.
You're good people. Thanks, Big Pipe.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase. It's the male gaze. They're both male and they're both gay. The male gaze.
Good day to listeners everywhere. It's time for the male gaze.
I did not condone this theme tune, by the way.
I was looking at you. I was like, join in.
No, I was like, I hate this. I didn't want to be part of it. I didn't want to be in the same room as it happening. I just looked away.
It's devastating news. It came to me in the moment. I was like, how exciting will it be if we start with a song? And
hey, that's fine. You can start with a song. I'm not going to sing.
Well, maybe I'll start with a song in my own podcast.
Great.
Which I'll start tomorrow, because this is the last one of these that will ever
exist.
Well,
good luck doing a podcast called The Male Gay, because the pun doesn't work.
Yeah, you're right. I'm not going to do it. We're going to stay.
We're going to stay together.
We're going to stay together. Stick together to
because
the very end.
Because that's what friendships do. You can go through the hard times and the good times.
Yeah, and this is going to be the good times. This is episode something of The Male Gays.
Absolutely.
And my name is Eli Mathewson.
And my name is Chris Parker, and welcome along to you all.
Kudos to you for opening your ears and hearts to a podcast by two people you may not know.
The Male Gaze is a podcast where Eli and I are friends, we're gay, and we're just going to talk about some issues.
We're just going to yarn. Every week we start with the fact of the gay. This is where we have both learned something new, which we're going to bring to the table, share, and talk about.
How long have you known your fact for? How new is it for you?
So I bought this book called Queer Essentials. It's called Gay Essentials. I bought it from a secondhand bookstore, and it's a list of facts. And this chapter...
Have you done any background research into this book? Like, who wrote it?
No, I was just... It said, like, facts for your queer brain, and I was like, great.
That seems good. That seems legit. I just would hate for you to be, like, digesting, like...
Propaganda
or, like, gay conspiracy... About and then eventually you're like, you know what, I don't think I'm gay anymore. It's just I've read this whole book back to front and I just think it's not good.
These facts didn't sit well with me.
These facts didn't sit well, and they're just made up facts.
Yeah.
To turn gay men off from the inside.
Oh my gosh.
That is pure evil.
Well, we'll find out. I can reveal my fact to you.
Then I'll be the judge of whether it's real or not.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you'll have anything to base that on.
I think just pure impulse.
Okay, well, this chapter immediately stuck out for me when I bought the book, because I was like, why is that? And then kind of when I read the chapter, I was like, I feel like maybe I kind of knew that already.
Okay.
All the chapters are 3 pages, which for...
Great, that is a perfect length.
That is the perfect way to write a book. I don't know why. You know whenever I look to start a book, if I count the pages and it's more than 10 pages per chapter, I'm like, eat it. Because I like to read for like half an hour between...
Because chapters feel good.
Yeah.
You're like, oh yeah, knocked off a couple of chapters today.
Yeah, and if it takes me like 3 days to knock off a chapter...
what's the point?
No, Donatar, I'm talking to you. I'm never going to finish The Goldfinch. This fact. How did San Francisco become so gay?
Oh, I've always wanted
to
know.
This is a question. And I think when I explain it to you, you'll be like, I feel like I kind of did know that already.
Okay.
2 stages.
Because I'm already coming up with some wacky reasons as to why this is happening.
Do you want to reveal those before I reveal the real ones?
Nah, you go for it.
Okay, so there's 2 kind of stages here. One is the gold rush of the late 1840s and 1850s, which drove a lot...
Gays love their gold.
They love their gold. They love their bling. It just drove a lot of men to that area. So rather than being a concentrated amount of gay men, it was just a concentrated amount of men, and therefore...
They're digging in the mines. One's like, mate, I'm quite lonely at the moment. I just haven't had any intimacy. And the other guy's like, mate, I promised to my wife I would not do anything weird. He's like, oh, come on, she's over all the way over on the other side of America. All right. And then a big gay orgy happens in the cave.
This is like the worst version of Brokeback Mountain ever.
I promise I was a screenwriter.
I wouldn't do this. You've written scripts for screens, and I'm sorry to reveal that information if you didn't want to, but
true.
People need to know. There was already so much gay activity happening as a result of that when there was an earthquake in 1906, church ministers blamed that on there being homosexuals in the area, referring to what they called Sodom by the Sea.
Oh, I like that.
Which is really cute.
I like that.
Yeah.
That sounds like a gay exhort.
Yeah, or like a romantic novel.
Yeah. Like, welcome to our beach vacay. It's called Sodom by the Sea. It's beautiful sea views.
All these rooms are specifically kitted out for sodomy and no other types of
sex. No other types of penetration.
No, only butt only.
Butt only.
No blowjobs allowed. Nothing oral happens in here.
No buts. Yes buts.
Then further along in San Francisco's history in the 1940s,
I'm going to just stop you right here and say that nowhere in my conspiracy was there gold miners.
Yeah, I know.
So already I've learned something.
Your conspiracy.
Sorry, not
why
my conspiracy.
Are you referring to it as a conspiracy? I've got a big conspiracy theory about
San Francisco.
It's an inside job. The government put the gays there.
I meant my fan theories on San Fran. Yeah,
I didn't realize you were such a fan of San Fran.
I am. I'm the San fan.
Are you a fan of the TV show Looking, set in San Francisco?
Oh my god, I have not seen that. I feel terrible about it as well, but there's so much to watch.
It's really well. I've seen
not a lot of like queer television to watch. So that, you know, slap on my wrist for that.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, like I'm just trying to watch everything else. You know.
Yeah. Have you seen Fourth Man Out? That's on Netflix. That's it.
You can try and make me. No, I haven't. I'm
not
terrible.
I'm not trying to force you to watch everything gay, but I just think like.
No, but it's important to, right? And I haven't. So I feel bad.
If you look. So, how often do you look at Netflix and browse through it? And then the queer category, if you choose to seek it out, is very small.
Like, is it?
Yeah. Oh, maybe there's like 25 flicks.
That's great.
In the New Zealand version.
I mean, I've seen Weekend, you know, like.
Yeah.
And that kind of gets you through.
Weekend is very definitive.
It's a, yeah, it's a pivotal
Anthony
movie.
Hayther that made that went on to make Looking.
I know.
So, yeah, I don't know. You don't have to watch
it. I was like, I've seen the movie.
Let's talk about it another episode after you've seen it because there's a rich debate about it
let's
anyway.
Let's keep the podcast going and I'm going to watch all of it right now.
And the listeners will just sit and hear Chris's live reactions.
Just a lot of me going, yep.
Oh, this doesn't represent me. So during the war, right, when people were they would go to the port at San Francisco to head
Are
to...
Are we Ch- only up to the war?
Yes.
Oh, man. This is a history lesson. This isn't a fact.
No.
Keep going.
Can I just finish my fact of the gay? It's my one...
It's fact of the century.
It's my one treat of the podcast. they were...
Treat yourself. Go on.
So people, army, military people heading to Japan... all came there, so that was the port. So they were all, again, a huge influx of men, and therefore gay men just by percentage. But also, when people were discharged from the army for being gay, they were sent back to San Francisco, and many of them stayed there because they were too, like their families didn't know, and then after being discharged, like their families would have found out.
Right.
So that was the bit that I was like, I feel like maybe I kind of knew that. I don't know.
The war?
The war stuff.
You knew the war had something to do with
it. I knew the war had some
influence. But it's interesting because San Francisco isn't, like, it's just a gay-friendly place. So, like, for lesbians and bisexuals and, like, it's just known as, like, a very queer hot pot, really.
It's had a lot of, it's the only place in America, or at the time of writing this gay facts book, which I think was about 1993,
okay.
To be honest. At that time, it was the only place where you could study gay and lesbian, major in gay and lesbian studies.
Ah.
Also, it had, like...
That would have been a big draw card, I imagine.
Yeah.
Not the war.
Yeah.
That's or true. Gold in the caves. They want to study queer studies. That makes sense.
That's true. But that was not until the 80s, I think, anyway.
True.
Also, just like lots of things, like Harvey Milk, obviously, but also lots of other city councils and stuff. I think the percentage of homosexual LGBTQI.
So pretty much the lesson is, if you bring a whole bunch of people through a certain area, a couple of them will be gay and a couple of them will stick.
Yeah.
In that area. That's kind of it. Like, a lot of men went to go dig some gold. A lot of men went through the war.
Yeah.
Some of them were gay and some of them hung around.
Yeah. But also that discharge from the army.
Yeah,
thing.
That's a key
is
point.
Is discharged the right word? Or
sent home? Discharged?
Sent home? Disbarred?
Exiled, ostracized. I mean, we could just...
I could definitely have picked a more pleasant word to listen to than discharge.
I like it.
Okay.
We shouldn't shy away from these words. This is an honest podcast.
This is the real us, Chris.
I don't have a problem with the word discharge.
No, that doesn't really gross me out. I do a joke in stand-up where I say the word discharge.
And do sometimes, you do stand-up? Sometimes people,
thanks so much for following my career. Sometimes audience go, ooh.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, it is.
Do you tell them to grow up?
Yeah, grow up. STIs happen to all of us. Yeah. If you haven't had one, you're a loser. And that is my real...
You haven't had
that's
an STI,
my real...
you're a virgin. Remember being a virgin was so scary?
Yes.
At high school, I was just so nervous.
I was like, I need to get this done.
And that's the interesting thing about... well, unless you're like a gold star gay, that being like someone who was has just identified being gay their whole life and hasn't dabbled in other sexualities. But for me, I was like straight for a long time.
Yeah.
And... I always think about like I lost two virginities in that respect.
I feel exactly the same way.
I feel like everyone should just tick off every gender.
Tick off both. /all boxes.
All boxes.
Of the gender binary.
And then they're like, this is great.
Yeah.
I can understand now where I want to position myself. It's like literally eating the first thing and being like, I love that and I'll only eat that for the rest of my life. It's like, you should taste around first.
Can you imagine though, like, so you're suggesting that every person needs to try being gay for a little bit. Can you imagine, as you are now, having sex with a woman again? Would that be easy for you?
Well, no, but I already have, and I've decided I don't want to keep doing that.
I guess so. But, I mean, if you're thinking about a straight person who's happily having sex, like, it's going to be hard to convince them to try and have...
They could get close to it and then go, I'm going to back out.
Yeah, that's true. Just...
Back on.
Just, like, graze your penis against another man's penis.
Though you have heard that kind of cliche story of, like, kind of every, like, university guy has had, like, a close gay experience. Like, I was in the shower and he sort of looked at me in the eyes and I sort of went, g'day, mate, and sort of, you know, pretty gay.
You know who writes those stories? They're
gay
fan theories. They're San Fran fan theory.
San Fan fan friendlies.
Tell me your fact of the gay, please.
Well, well, there's a new ad campaign out at the moment for H&M featuring like quite a few trans models, and the whole campaign's about like ladies, which is very cool.
That's awesome.
And I was like, they got me all mind ticking along about like
finally,
it's been like just dormant for ages. about queer visibility in ads.
Yeah,
and Googled. Because it's just such a great resource, Google.
Big shout out to Google. They're not a sponsor, but
we're hoping they will be.
We love what you do.
Please shout us $10 million. Okay, so I searched for the first gay couple in an ad.
Mm-hmm.
1994.
Whoa.
That was the year.
Yeah.
The company, I was going to say guess, I've already told you the fact. let's be real. The company, IKEA. Yeah.
Oh.
Do you want to hear a little bit? I've actually got the ad here.
I would love to hear this ad,
so this would be fun.
Well, you know, we went to IKEA because we thought it was time for a serious dining room table. And
we have slightly different tastes. I mean, Steve is more into country. It frightens me, but at the same time, I have compassion.
We've been together about 3 years.
I met Steve at my sister's wedding. I was really impressed with how well-designed the IKEA furniture was.
I love
really
how they say wedding together at the same time.
These chairs are really sturdy.
This table concluded a leaf.
A leaf means
commitment.
Staying together, commitment. We've got
another
leaf
quite
waiting
similar.
When we really start getting along.
There's the ad. Sorry, I talked over the end of it, but it's not very interesting. I mean, like... It's interesting in terms of what it's doing, but in terms of they're just a couple talking about, like, if you see gay couples all the time, you're just like, they're just talking about buying furniture.
But it is interesting compared to, like, so if we're talking about gay couples in ads now, often it's like there's three sets of parents shopping and one for 2 seconds is a gay couple, whereas this is like a testimonial
yes
from two gay men about them furniture shopping.
It's like sometimes they'll just like slip it in. Yeah. Know, and those, they'll be like, and you see lots of shots of like people on the train, one gay couple, and then, you know, and then it moves on.
Yeah.
You get, you can, and you have to pause it on YouTube, find the moment, and like just and hover there for a bit.
I did hover on the gay couple in the iPhone 7 commercial for a while.
Oh yeah.
One of them is so cute, and ooh, the other one's like not quite.
He's taken.
He's taken. Yeah, yeah. I know. I'm not wanting to ask him out, but if he is listening, just know that I think you're like really handsome. I would love for you to come out and me to use your iPhone 7 for a little bit, just because I'm thinking about getting one and upgrading from my 5S. And that could confirm it.
That could confirm it. Should we move on to this week's theme?
Yeah, we're done talking about that?
I think we're done.
Okay, cool.
I'm done with it.
I'm done with gay couples and ads.
It's consumerism at the end of the day. Yes, yeah. Yes, it's great representation, but they're still trying to make us buy stuff, aren't they?
Yeah, and the only thing waste. The only thing I want to buy is big pipe internet. Let's talk about, yeah, we've got an exciting theme. This, we came up with this theme idea on the first ever beer we had to meet up and talk about this podcast.
Couple of boys having beers and banter about their gay podcast.
We drink beer. We can do anything we want. You can't categorize us. Yeah. I love a hoppy beer. I love a pilsner.
I love a hot beer.
I love a hot beer.
Hot, steamy, I love a
hot
beer.
Hairy beer in an open flannel shirt. Chopping wood and listening to
Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga. the theme of this episode is
Icon or Tricon.
That's so cute.
That was so much. That's the most enthusiasm we've had in the entire podcast.
Yeah, that was
on,
cool.
On any episode.
Yeah, that's the most enthusiasm I've ever had for you as a person.
So the theme's pretty self-explanatory, but we'll explain it for you dummies out there.
There aren't any dummies listening to this podcast.
We don't know. There could be like mannequins.
Yeah, shout out to any mannequins listening. I hope one day you become sentient.
Yeah. So Eli and I are going to put forward like one of our ultimate gay icon.
Oh, God. Well, now you're...
I'm raising the stakes. Go hard or go home, mate.
Well, I just feel like you definitely believe in yours, and I'm not investigating personally deep down right now whether I believe in mine or not.
Okay, so we're putting forward a notable gay icon in our, give me the word, in our...
I don't know, for listeners at home, Chris is waving kind of like, as if he's about to talk about horizon.
I'm waving in front of my mind, you know. In
frontal lobes.
Yeah, okay, fine. So, a gay icon that's been floating around in our frontal lobes.
Get out of there. It's annoying. I need those for concentration. What is, memory?
This isn't a science podcast.
It isn't. And if you came here for science, GTF.
Out of here.
Unless the other stuff is interesting you, and then keep on.
Yeah.
Because this, it's more of the same content is coming.
Yeah. So, Eli, do you want to begin?
I'll begin. So,
But yours is more to be debated, whereas I'm more solid in mind, so maybe I will begin. Sorry, I'm just going to steamroll you there. I feel like we'll dabble in mine, and then we'll really start tearing yours apart.
Yeah, cool. I know less about yours, and so I want to hear more.
And it is none other than gay icon Barbara Streisand.
Oh, from Meet the Fockers.
Yeah, from her notable work in Meet the Fockers. That was the movie that put her on the map.
It was. For me, I'm pretty sure that's the first time I saw her in Meet the Fockers.
This is the thing with a lot of my gay icons. Like, they wouldn't have come into my frontal... in their most obvious film.
Yeah.
Like, so it's not Funny Girl that put Barbara on the map for me.
Mm.
It would have been, like, Meet the Fockers, which I would have accidentally watched at, like, age 10.
Yeah.
And been like... who's that woman? She's the best woman in this film.
Yeah, totally.
Then do a bit of YouTubing and find out that she sings to my soul and is everything I want to be and more.
Great.
I did a bit of reading on Barbara, actually.
Thank God. I know. I am sitting here thinking, oh, I should talk again, but I know nothing about her.
You don't know anything about her.
I read a really good Vanity Fair article about her relationship with her manager.
To do with
the film A Star Is Born.
Yes.
And I remember it being so interesting.
But so you
I
have, can't so remember. You do what, know some stuff about her.
No, I didn't retain any of the information.
I'm really excited for the A Star Is Born.
Same. We're going to watch that.
Because there's been three versions of that movie. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen either of them, or all three of them.
Yeah.
But Barbara is in one of them.
It's in the middle one, right?
The middle one. Who's in the first one?
And then
Lady Gaga's and then the one coming, which is great. We're going to watch all three of them.
Yeah.
In a row. Bang, bang, bang.
Yeah. But no, we're going to wait till the Lady Gaga one comes out. So you can wait for that podcast in 2019.
Barbara, I was reading about what makes her a gay icon.
Yeah.
Interestingly, this article was talking about how she, in the earlier years of her career, and she's like 70, we shouldn't talk about her age, that's not very respectful, but she's like 74, I think.
Whoa.
She's ticking along. Yeah. And she first, like, her big, you know, burst out into stardom was when she appeared on the Judy Garland show.
Judy Garland had a show?
Yeah, she had a show.
Like a variety show?
Yeah, cool. She'd just been this like weird kind of concert hall and just kind of be on drugs and singing to people.
Oh, man, I watched some of Sonny and Cher's variety show recently, and we can talk about that in another podcast.
Those kind of shows are so interesting. Like, we just don't really make them anymore.
Well, they've tried to. Maya Rudolph has done two. So she did one solo, and then one with
Marty.
Maya and Marty.
Well, what's really interesting with the Judy Garland one with Barbara featuring on it, which, like, lots of, like, it's just such a famous clip on YouTube for all the kind of young gay men who are just, like, loving it. I feel like Judy liked Barbara more than Judy's daughter, Liza Minnelli.
Really?
Because I've also seen this special where Judy sings with Liza Minnelli. And, yes, it is. It has a great energy, but when Barbara's on, there's a light in Judy's eyes. It's just like, isn't there when she's with Liza.
Oh.
It's a little bit heartbreaking, but that's just like that old Hollywood time for you. They were just ruthless like that.
I watched Judy Garland singing, Forget Your Troubles, Come On, Get Out. That's a good bit.
I mean, she is the ultimate gay icon, if we're talking about icons. But the thing with Barbara is they're saying that these gay icons are as such because in those sort of earlier years of their career, mm-hmm. they are surrounded by gay men who kind of help shape their image.
Wow.
And Barbara's first husband, like, later came out to be gay.
Yeah.
And, like, she was also always around these, like, sort of gay theatre types, and she had, like, a notable kind of gay figure beside her who dressed her and did her makeup for her and kind of shaped her into the woman they wanted her to be. And then they were bang on the money because we just fell in love with her.
Well, it's the same with, like, Madonna, right? Madonna, who, like, embraced kind of voguing and ball culture.
Yeah.
Brought that into the mainstream, and there's kind of argument as to whether she was like culturally appropriating something or bringing it to the masses.
She definitely brought it to them. Like, it was out there. Lots of people saw it and now know of it because of her.
Yeah,
but also took it away from some people technically.
Mm.
Barbara. Also, what I love about Barbara, and she's got a new album coming out. Has just been released.
Oh,
she's made like billions and billions of albums. She's got so many albums, I can't believe it. But this one is like her singing Broadway tunes with like notable celebrities. I kind of feel like she's like, I'm a bit tired, I just want to sing like half a song, so I'll get someone else to do the other half.
Yeah.
But she's got like Michael Bublé, obviously, and like Melissa McCarthy does one.
What?
And it's very unusual. They sing Anything You Can Do, I Can Do Better.
Oh, love
Melissa
that.
Looks like she's gonna like shit herself the whole sort of recording. And it's just quite uncomfortable because she's like, I think Melissa's like, I don't know why I'm here. Like, Melissa's very talented and she's a very good singer. But
yeah,
if you got that email from Barbara, you'd be like, what on earth?
Do you remember that old song that Lamb Chop used to sing with the woman who was the voice and puppeteer of Lamb Chop? We're going to do that again in 2016.
Yeah. It's going to do a comeback. You're playing Lamb Chops. I've got you the suit. But Barbara's so fierce. She's really controlling. I've seen some really crazy interviews with her with like Barbara Walters and stuff where they sort of sit down. And she's like very controlling. She's like, because she's known for like writing, directing, and starring in all her movies. So she just can't let anyone take over. And even in her sit down interview, she's like telling the camera crew and stuff like to do a better angle and telling the lighting guys to fix the lighting, even though it's like not her interview.
Yeah,
she's a control freak, and I love that about her.
Well, it's kind of like she's a queen, you know.
She's an absolute queen.
All aspects of everything,
and I think that's what makes her an icon for me.
I would love to have that kind of career where you can make albums, but all your albums are just old songs. You just pick any of the old songs that you want to sing.
Like, just some hymns.
Some people, like Rod Stewart, does the Great American Songbook. Michael Bublé's whole career is just singing old songs. Like, what a freaking easy job.
Yeah, it's just croon it.
Just croon.
What's interesting about Barbara as well is that she didn't perform live for like 30 years. She did a big concert at the Hollywood Bowl, forgot her lyrics at one point. She probably just forgot like two words, but she was like, that's it. You will never see me on stage again. So she's just like hid for years. She's only just coming back out onto performing on stage like now.
Oh my gosh.
Probably because she's old and doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah. Speaking about...
She's not old, but she's aging gracefully.
Speaking about not singing live, should we talk about my icon on Tricon?
Beautiful segue.
Today I would love to talk about Britney Spears.
Oops, you've done it again.
Oops.
Sorry.
Well, this is home. Chris's
but
face
come on,
was
mate. Hit me,
so
baby, one more time.
When he said that, and then again, the smuggest face for the most worthless this, reference.
Stop being so poison to me.
It's called toxic.
Do you know what I was thinking of? Bardo
poison.
Do you know why? Because I've been watching Pop Stars recently.
Oh yeah. So Pops Bardo, for listeners abroad, they won Australian Pop Stars.
Yeah, Pop Stars is like the television show that like made American Idol essentially, but it started in New Zealand.
In little old New Zealand, and they like it's shot in like a community hall half the time,
and it is an absolute train wreck.
But one of the producers from that show is now making millions,
mega bucks,
and millions of dollars from selling that idea. In our beautiful country, Aotearoa.
But Sophie Monk was on, just while we're talking about icons and tricons, Sophie Monk was on, she's in True Blood,
Bardo.
And I fell in love with that woman.
Wow.
That I was like nine. I was like, she's gorgeous. You have to put her on the band.
The version that I was most into was the Irish pop stars.
Hearsay?
No, the band was called Seven. They sang,
yeah.
There's a whole lot of loving going on.
Yeah.
That was my favorite. That was one that I knew the most.
I knew all of them. Hearsay.
What was Hearsay?
Pure and Simple.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you go, I'm always going to be there. Wherever you do. Hey, tell me about your icon.
So I guess I'm going through a phase where I've been listening to Britney's song Make Me in my car alone when no one else is around, like way more than I should. And also I've listened to the whole album and kind of enjoyed the album, new album Glory.
Oh.
The thing about Britney is that I think like every single person alive went to high school with someone who is a better dancer than her, and I think most people have someone in their immediate family who is a better singer than her. Like,
true.
In
their immediate family?
Yeah.
Are you that person in your immediate family? And are you saying that you're a better singer than Britney Spears?
I'm pretty confident I'm a better singer than Britney Spears. I don't know.
This should be an app.
Yeah.
That you could
measure exactly how...
It's like you are four times better than singing at Britney Spears.
Like, I don't know exactly. I just think that if I had been a professional singer since I was 16 to now, I would definitely be a better singer than Britney Spears.
But you weren't, were you?
But I could have been.
What could have been? That could have been you up on the VMA stage.
It could have been Make My More.
It's a good song, actually.
It is good. Until the white rapper comes in, it's really good. Yeah, I don't know.
What in Britney Spears leans her towards being a gay icon? Because I'm pretty sure there'll be some people out there listening to the podcast burying their head in their hands, being like, what are you thinking, Eli? Because it's quite a controversial pick.
Yeah, the thing is, I know I shouldn't... like, I know there's so many more talented people and more talented musicians that I love.
Barbara Streisand.
Okay, sure. I'll go home and listen to that Broadway Duets album. It sounds great. but Britney, I want Britney to do well. And I don't know where that feeling comes from. But, like, I was so nervous before she did her VMAs performance after Beyonce in a
that was
true
so
scheduling act of ultimate cruelty. I don't know what it is or why, and this is why I wanted to talk about this, to investigate why it is that I want Britney to do well.
When did she first come on your radar?
I remember driving through the McDonald's drive-thru of Westfield Riccarton Mall.
Mm-hmm.
And Baby One More Time coming on.
Yeah.
Our whole family's in the van. My sister was like, this is this new girl, Britney Spears. And until I saw the video...
I'm getting shivers from this storytelling, by the way.
I know. Until I saw the video, and I think this is true of a few other people, I thought she was black.
Oh.
Which is so weird. And I've talked to a few other people who had the same feeling when they first heard Britney Spears. I think that's less to do with what her voice sounds like and more to do with the style of music, which was like merging R&B and pop.
Oh, baby.
I can't do it. I thought I had it.
Oh, baby.
It's like kind of glottal fright.
Oh, baby.
No,
that's pretty good.
I'm getting better.
Or like, also,
not like I've been practicing it every morning in the shower.
Every single gay comedian that I've watched on YouTube recently does a Britney Spears impression.
You've got to have one.
To me, I'm like, the market's been taken.
I've been working on my Ariana Grande impersonation.
I'd love to hear that right now.
It's very specific. It's her talking to Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she goes, hi there, Jimmy. I'm Ariana Grande. It's quite bad.
Why does she say that to him?
I don't know.
He knows.
Well, it's just from the clip I've watched. And she's kind of just got that weird, hello, hi there, Jimmy, I'm Ariana Grande.
Can I also do an impression of Ariana Grande?
Yeah.
This is from her recent interview with Ryan Seacrest.
Okay.
It's too early for this type of tea. Do you know what I'm referring to?
I think we're in a similar realm with our, I mean, our mind sort of sounds more like a weird, kooky scientist. But
we're in a similar like territory.
She's from a different time, that woman.
She's a
bit of an icon for me, to be honest.
Undisputed for me.
Great. I'm glad that you confirmed that.
To Britney.
Yeah. What, for you, makes you feel like she is a tricon? So that is someone trying to... not an icon.
The fact that she has no... So we're talking about Barbara, right? Controlling every aspect of everything around her in the room. I think Britney is almost the exact opposite of that, in that she has no control or idea of what is happening at any given moment.
Okay.
She learns the choreography. I reckon it probably takes her longer than it would take a lot of other people to learn it. Oh, I don't know. I shouldn't say that. I don't know. Maybe she's a really fast learner, but I don't think she has any... direction. I don't think in her Las Vegas show
there is a vacancy in her eyes that I find quite relatable.
Yeah. You can almost feel,
when I watched her Carpool Karaoke, I was like, she seems very sad. Yeah. And I identify to that.
Yeah, I think she's lost in between, like, I don't think she knows whether she would be happier if she just stopped doing music or not.
I'm going to pull out my fan theory on this whole icon or tricon
There's
business.
So many fan theories.
Well, any theory today is a fan theory.
Yeah.
Britney Spears is like a kind of, the way you're describing it makes it sound like a bit like a puppet.
Yeah.
That I think the people pulling the strings are visionary gay men.
Oh, yeah.
So the people behind her are... have got a strong gay influence to them, which you find very relatable.
Yeah, okay.
And that is what's drawing you to. But it might not be Britney, the woman, that is the icon in here. She is the vessel which carries, which is somewhat of what I was coming to before with Barbara. Like, she was shaped by a whole bunch of gay men.
Yeah, totally. I guess what we're saying is that gay men run the world.
Yeah, I guess what we're saying is we're the superior... superior beings in this world.
Ultimately, I think,
isn't that unusual though? Like, why do so many gay men end up in like theatre? Like, what is that?
Because they're like showing off.
Yeah, but that's not an because we. Yeah, I guess so.
I genuinely think that is it.
We just like to show off.
Like to show off. But I don't know if that's true of all. But just
tweet us with your reasons as to why you think you, if you're gay, you ended up in the theatre.
Or not. If you're not in the theatre, criticise our thin beliefs.
Yeah.
Our narrow perspective. Narrow because we only associate with other theatre gays like ourselves.
I just know so many, you know. And when I did theatre, there were a few straight men in the group. But, quite a few of us ended up turning out to be homosexuals.
Two. Who are sitting right here in this very room. Britney's put out some good songs, though. She's put out some really good tracks, and I'm kind of like, I don't like her voice, but also sometimes it's a bit comforting. I really like Till the World Ends, written by Kesha.
Oh yeah,
we'll keep dancing till the world ends. That's it.
Because I wouldn't say Britney's style is ultimately on point. There's something kind of rundown Vegas about it.
I like that she's embraced a kind of trashy. She went from schoolgirl. She was a schoolgirl for a bit, and then she went trashy, and she's pretty much kept it up.
Yeah.
Same with Christina Aguilera, to be honest.
When she wore her VMA outfit, that kind of yellow sparkly thing, was such a throwback to the VMAs in 2004. I was like, this is amazing that you're still kind of styling yourself like this.
Everything about her performance was, lip syncing so blatantly to literally the CD track of your vocal is such a throwback.
Maybe that's just her whole shtick. She's like, I'm just bringing you a bit of nostalgia.
Yeah. She is. Oh, also, I think
I would still pay mega bucks to see her live.
I'm gonna see the Vegas show.
Yeah.
You try and stop me.
It's we can kind of dissect her and sort of drag her a little bit, but at the end of the day, we'd still drop money into a hat. Is that the drop a hat to go see her live?
Do you think part of the reason we like her is that she almost seems like a drag queen playing herself in terms of
the
way she dresses, the style of performance is, like you say, a throwback, which most drag acts are as well. They throw back to a certain period of time.
Yes.
And she is the highest budget drag queen in the world.
Yeah.
And she's doing a tribute to herself.
It's like a piece of performance art.
It is.
She's Tilda Swinton as Britney Spears playing Britney Spears. It's something like that.
I would pay good money to see Tilda Swinton as Britney Spears.
In the Britney Spears biopic?
Oh my gosh. And what a win for older actresses, for someone who is 10 years older than Britney to play Britney in a biopic of her life.
I would not be surprised if she picked that role up.
That'd be amazing.
That's the thing with Tilda. You just never know where she's going to move to next.
Oh, yeah. I love her.
She's not an icon for the gays. I think she's an icon for humanity.
Yeah. She's an icon for, just the possibilities of life.
Yeah, of what we can be as humans.
So we kind of were thinking as well that we would pit our icons against each other at the end of the episode.
Oh, okay.
And an icon. Don't say that as if that's news to you.
We discussed that yesterday. Well, I forgot.
Okay. Your brain wasn't ticking along.
No, it wasn't. My frontal lobe wasn't engaged.
But I almost feel like this is an unfair fight because you're so sure in your beliefs of Barbara Streisand and I'm
not.
Well,
to be fair, you can't come in with someone who you're like, oh, you went, I'm kind of on the fence, but we're going to pit her against yours.
I guess.
It's like being in a Pokemon battle. I don't really believe in this one, but I'm going to chuck him out there anyway. That's my only Pokemon reference of this entire podcast,
Which Pokemon do you think are engaged in that battle?
In that, I don't know. Wait, a terrible Pokemon you don't really... a Diglett?
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's a good... No, okay,
they seem kind of useless. They're just worms, aren't they?
Diglett's the smallest Pokemon size-wise.
Are they?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they've got nothing against I don't know.
Think of one. Say one.
Charizard.
Yeah, good. Or easy. Charmander. How easy was that?
It's so easy. I could fit in.
Yeah, you could. It's all right. Pokemon goes over anyway.
It is, eh? Yeah. People just drop that.
Yeah, people drop
so
that.
So Grindr's back.
Pokemon goes over and people are having sex again.
Because that's what it was. It was you can either be on Grindr or you're on Pokemon.
We're on Pokemon Go.
And everyone's I'm so much on Pokemon Go at the moment. I'm just no time on Grindr. The app's nothing to me now. And then they swap. It's like Snapchat and Instagram. Those two are always
they are
battling.
Swapping,
and Instagram. And then Grindr and Pokemon Go.
My favorite feature of Grindr is that if you walk for long enough, an egg hatches and you get to fuck the egg.
What's inside the egg?
Just a little twink.
Twinkie.
Twinkie one. I guess ultimately, Barbara Streisand won today.
Always.
Icon or tricon. But also, I think that
there'll be some big Britney fans out there who will dispute that. But
and Britney is, as I
I'll
said,
fight you.
The highest budget drag queen of all time.
I wonder. I would say Barbara has more money. Just she's been working for longer.
Barbara has control over her own money, and Britney's money is controlled by her father still as well. So that's
what?
Yeah, Britney's under the conservatorship of her father.
Oh my God.
Which is a legal thing that is normally reserved for people who are like Down syndrome, where your parent controls all of your financial decisions.
Right.
But they put that on Britney Spears after she had her breakdown.
And she shaved her head. And she was mentally, like, she was like clinically unwell.
Yeah, very unwell.
So that makes sense.
And she's never been removed from that conservatorship. So still to this day. I don't know, like, how much actual control her father has, but...
Where did you read this?
There's articles online.
Fan Look theories.
It's not a fan theory.
It's a fan fact.
It's a fan legality. Guys, this has been a wonderful introduction to our new Icon or Tricon.
This will be back.
Tweet us your suggestions at Eli Matheson or at C. Rob Kerr.
Don't roll your eyes on the podcast while you say that. I'm going to say it with confidence. At C. Rob Kerr or Krobker, C-R-O-B-K-E-R.
It's good that you spelled it out because it
does. It stinks. I know it stinks, but I'm just going to back it now.
Yeah.
Do you know who doesn't think it stinks? All my followers. They managed to find me.
I don't think.
And they're happy they have.
Just because they're following you doesn't mean they like the name that you chose. You're all beautiful out there.
You're all beautiful. Keep it up, guys and gals.
Kisses.
Peace and love.
Thank you so much again to our sponsors, bigpipe.co.nz. You rock.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. If you're thirsty for another, why not try the worst idea of all time?
Ow!
This movie's still fine.
So a rip is a patch of the ocean that looks very glassy and calm, but you get pulled into it, and it there's like an undertow,
it's,
right? That's
yeah,
what it is? Like
it's like an inverse mirage, because it is water, but it's bad water.
Classic Maximum Joseph.
Agree.
You forget that films are supposed to have a point.